Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Over the past couple of months, we've had a regular interview slot with the Auckland Council, speaking to councillors Pippa Coombe and Shane Henderson. Ayana, the old host, used to have the slot, but she's gone off to Antarctica, so I've got it now. This week, I spoke to Shane Henderson for the first time. We discussed the council's national policy statement on urban development, which is more interesting than it sounds, I promise. The statement sets out how housing should work in Auckland, trying to manage population growth while also having safe, inclusive communities. We also spoke about Auckland transport and how the council is working to fight climate change. Here's the interview. The National Policy Statement on Urban Development has come out. It's a bit of a wordy title. What is it exactly doing?
Yeah, so basically, and I'll try and be as brief as I can, but it's an instruction from the government to make density possible in our cities. So basically, more housing closer to metropolitan centres to rapid transit stops in the city centre. Without getting too technical, the unitary plan, which is our kind of planning document through council, it says how high you can actually build your house in different zones of Auckland. And according to the MPSUD, some of our zoning isn't high enough and we need to basically upzone areas where people can feasibly live closer to rapid transit.
So are we going to see tangible change from this? Is this going to affect my everyday life?
Yeah, I think we will see tangible change. The most important way that this will affect your day-to-day life is that we're currently in a housing crisis right now. We're about 30,000 homes short, and the National Policy Statement will actually allow us to build more homes, and I think that's very important. We can get sort of lost in the noise and the technical element of it, but I think the most important thing to remember is that we need more houses, and this will result in more houses. So a greater chance for you to own your home or to, with the supply going up, hold rents down. Those are two key things that will affect you.
The role of the council interests me quite a lot in this area. What do you see the role of the council to be compared to the government? What does each party do to fix the housing crisis in Auckland, for example?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one because the government being involved in kind of more of a council planning framework is an interesting move, but it kind of recognises the seriousness of the situation. I think council has a huge role in this. Firstly, we've got to, I think, implement the National Policy Statement in a way that will enable more homes and promote more homes, because it's kind of us for us to interpret these things. But the other important way the council is involved is to service new housing with public transport, with more cycling routes and safer walking routes. And that's kind of another thing we've got to do. For young people, it's got to be attractive to live in these places, and so you've got to get around. And so council's got to do that as well.
The plan talks a little bit about how it's going to help diversity. How specifically is it going to do this?
Yeah, so I found as 34-year-old man myself, I'm getting older, but I'm still, I think, on the young spectrum. We were recently lucky enough to sort of start looking for a house ourselves, and we found that for younger people, the housing stock still doesn't meet our needs in Auckland. There's still too many areas where we've got sort of big sections that we can't maintain, and actually we lead busy urban lives, and we need maybe smaller houses and different types of housing that can actually cater to our needs, and obviously cheaper too. So one of the things this will do is diversity in your housing stock. So it's not just bigger houses, it's also houses that are available that people want, that are townhouses and apartments.
I'd like to move on to talk a little bit about the environment now. So last week, I believe there was a State of the Environment report. Touching again on the role of the government compared to the council, how much do you feel the council can do to help the environment, and how should the government be helping the council?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the things we haven't really touched on is the environment and climate change, which is all a part of all of this. I think it's a really important aspect of this, that when we're designing our cities so that you have to build far out of the city and build sort of an hour or more commute away from your work, that's got huge climate change implications and huge environmental implications. It means you're creating emissions through your transport. And that's the situation we're in right now. And we need to design things that will take care of our natural environment as well as our urban one. So, yeah, I mean, it goes back to the point I was making earlier that enabling housing close to your work means less climate emissions, means a greater promotion of environmental you know, good stuff.
So in this national policy statement on urban development, is there plans for transport sort of tied in with plans for housing? Are they sort of being planned together?
Yeah, and that's some of the conversation that we'll need to do over the coming years. And I know we've just recently passed the regional land transport plan, which addresses that a lot. One of the things that's in that plan is seed funding for the city centre to Mangere light rail line, which will basically connect denser urban housing all along that route. And a good example of that is actually Mount Roskill, where there is plenty of density planned. They will need much better public transport routes to serve that. And that plan sort of helps address, for example, that need really well.
Talking about public transport and climate emissions, how much work has been done to improve the emissions of the vehicles, of transport vehicles themselves, in terms of going electric and things? Because I understand public transport's great for the environment, but the way in which public transport works is also sort of relevant.
Totally. You're quite right. Look, there's always going to be cars. And we had a presentation from amazing students from Manurewa High School yesterday, and they actually asked that question of, you know, would you guys prefer buses or cars? And they said, yep, look, there's always going to be cars, we prefer buses, but for some people, you're always going to need to get different places and there'll be different needs. So as you've rightly pointed out, we need to work really hard on keeping emissions down from private vehicle use as well as from public transport. So the government has offered the Feebate scheme, which essentially subsidises electric vehicles. I think that's a huge part of the picture, just for climate change reasons. But the other thing we've got to remember about private vehicle use, sorry, I could talk about this all day, is that, look, it does bake in urban planning problems when you're encouraging everybody to use their own personal private vehicle for work, or, you know, when they don't really need to, when they've got other feasible options. That creates congestion, that creates public health issues, you know, the whole bit. So it's a complicated picture, but we've got to meet everybody's needs.
In general, do you think the council is doing a good job in fighting climate change?
I think we're starting to turn around the ship. I think we need to really double down and work really hard on fighting climate change. We declared a climate emergency in the last term and have reaffirmed that through a lot of our actions and a lot of our spend recently. And working really hard, as I said, on the regional land transport plan, which will reduce emissions. In my opinion, we need to do more and we need to work harder. But we're starting off on the right foot, I think, and that's where we're going.
One more thing on transport and climate change. I saw Councillor Richard Hills recently explained that transport spending will stabilise traffic by soaking up the growth. It won't reduce car dependency, therefore it won't reduce emissions.
Yeah.
What's the council doing to solve this?
Yeah, I think we need to do two things really importantly. One of them, to address that, is to, as I've said before, move private vehicle fleets to low or no emissions. That's going to be an ongoing conversation, but we've really started that. But the second really important thing is to encourage Aucklanders to switch to sustainable traffic travel modes. We need to work really hard on this. So that's public transport, that's walking, and that's cycling. For walking and cycling, we need to make things safer for pedestrians and cyclists. There's still far too many parts of the city where it is completely unsafe. And I know this very well, being a West Aucklander, where you don't have the option to cycle in some parts of our city just because of safety, and that's not really acceptable. And public transport is another one where if you're living outside of, you know, city central areas, then fares are really high. They're some of the highest in the Western world, and we need to address that. And there's not enough routes to cover key areas of Auckland. For example, Piha is one of the major tourist attractions of Auckland, and it's really important, especially for young people. Get a lot of visitors out there. You cannot take a bus. You can only take a car. These are the sort of things that we need to fix. So it'll be an ongoing situation, but we're sort of committed to working hard on that.
On a bit more of a lighter note around public transport, Fare Free Saturday, tell me about it.
Yeah, Fare Free Saturday, fantastic. So tomorrow is, Fare Free Saturday, the hint from the name. So use your AT hop card to tag on and off trains and buses. You are not going to be charged. That's fantastic, right? So give it a try. I think that we've talked a lot about, in this interview, alternatives. How can I do things differently? Well, give it a crack on Saturday is my suggestion, because it's totally free. And also explore the city. You know, we're in one of the only cities in the world where you can do this safely in a COVID-19 world. Go and have fun and enjoy different parts of our city. And just a little hint for the listeners out there, West Auckland is absolutely fantastic, and you guys should come and check it out. It's completely free on Saturday on your bus.
Is that the point of Fare Free Saturday, essentially? Just getting people, like, public transport's good, come use it.
Yeah, totally. And it is good. But, you know, there's a mental barrier for some people that have just never done it before. I mean, one of my relatives lives near a train station and hadn't taken the train in decades until we kind of encouraged her to do that. And now she loves it. And so, yeah, that's the kind of thing we're talking about, is to just give it a crack and you'll find out how easy or not easy it is for you.
Do you think there's a possibility Auckland would ever have free public transport, or significantly cheaper than it is now?
Yeah, I think we should be moving towards a situation where it is cheaper than it is now. We've got to keep going on that conversation, because it is expensive for outer areas of Auckland in particular. In terms of free, we just have to look at how much that would actually cost, and whether that we could invest that money in different routes instead. So that's part of a planning situation that we've got to look at.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.